Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Psalms 119. Psalms 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all and to have another privilege to join together in worship, to lift our voice in praise and to open the Word of God together and study from it. We do have some visiting with us. We're glad that you're here and we're grateful that we have the opportunity to get to know you and worship together, and we hope that we can be an encouragement to you as your presence is to us, and that together we can bring glory to God in our efforts this morning. The song we just sang is going to be the basis of our study this morning. We find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, as Solomon is bringing the book of Ecclesiastes to a conclusion, he's gone through a pursuit of finding true purpose and fulfillment in his life. And as he comes to the very end, he offers a profound instruction in Ecclesiastes 12, and verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And he goes on to describe, I think, the importance of why it is so important to remember God while you are young. He says, before the evil days happen and the years draw near in which you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return and after the rain. In the day and after that, the watchmen of the house tremble, and the valiant men bend down, and the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dark. He encourages mankind to seek God while they are young, because there may come a day in which they will lose interest in it. I think statistically, you find in people who are not introduced to God at a young age often can find themselves uninterested in the Lord. But then he describes finding God and seeking God now, before the days get difficult, before your body doesn't work the same as it used to, and life becomes more challenging. And so we find that youth is a time when many are in danger of losing their faith. I think we understand youth is a time that where we are impressionable. And so it underscores the importance of building a solid foundation so that it can stand into the later years of our life. And that's why we find in Psalm 119 and verse 9, as we read just a moment ago, how can a young man keep his way pure? Or how can a young man secure his heart? And of course, the central theme of what follows is by keeping it according to the Word of God, by holding fast to the treasure that is God's holy Word. And so I want to think about this question for a moment this morning. How can the young secure their hearts to ensure that they maintain faithfulness throughout the entirety of their life and they continue to walk with the Lord all the days of their life? Now, as we begin, I will state that when I originally had this idea, I had another idea in mind, and then it kind of evolved into something different. I do think that it kind of deals with that overall theme, but it's going to be a little bit different than what you may be expecting. There are surveys that have been done, and of course these are surveys that branch across all corners of what is commonly referred to as Christianity. Not necessarily biblical Christianity, but Christianity as many define it. And so there's surveys that have been done because there seems to be an epidemic, if you will, of young people departing from the faith. You might go on YouTube or you might go onto the internet and you can find people describing their deconstruction journey. And that is why they are departing from their once held faith, or they're deconstructing their faith. And there are many surveys that have been done to figure out why young people are leaving. Now, I want you to just think for a moment why you think. And I will say some of these do fit in line with what you probably have in your mind. But some of them, I think, are rather different than what we might actually think is the reason why some people are leaving. Then we're going to talk about why young people are staying and how we can build foundations that will help young people to maintain their faithfulness, secure their heart so that they remain faithful. And by the way, it is talking about the young, at least the title and the song that we sang and the scripture in Psalm. We'll come to that in a moment. But the things that we're talking about apply to all of us from all generations. It doesn't matter how old we may be, we still have the opportunity and the responsibility to secure our hearts because we want to make sure that it remains faithful all the days of our lives. And so as we begin, I want to consider why some young people are leaving their faith. And the first one is simply that they lack a genuine faith, a personal faith. There are many who are brought up by going to church with their parents, but they never develop a conviction of their own. They believe what it is that their parents had taught them, and they never really understood why, or perhaps they just inherited their parents' faith, and they never really developed a faith of their own. They're just kind of going along with what they were always taught, and they maybe don't even know why, and they couldn't really explain it. But they are nonetheless describing or falling in line with the faith of their parents or the faith that they were given by their parents. Now, it's a good thing for parents to instill their faith within their children, but I want to suggest that it has to come to a point where the child develops a faith of their own, where they know how and why they believe what they believe and how to go to the Bible and show that this is what I believe and this is why. This is what the Word of God says and this is what I'm basing my conviction upon. I think for some reason my clicker's not working. I think the battery might be dead. So if you would mind advancing for me. They need to come to a point where they develop their own conviction and their own understanding of what the Word of God says. And so some depart because they lack a personal faith of their own. But another reason that has been given as to why young people depart is because their parents failed to model genuine Christianity. Children, and those of you who are parents probably know this quite well, children have the ability to spot hypocrisy in their parents. They have the ability to see that mom and dad tell me to do this, but then they don't follow through or they're not faithful to what it is that they are telling me to do. They can see that. They profess Christ, but they don't always live consistently with that. And the children take notice. Parents not only have a responsibility, and we find in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7, not only a responsibility to teach their children, but to give an example of faithfulness to their children. And Moses writes to Israel here, and of course this comes directly on the heels of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He says, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall speak of them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign between your hand, on your hand and it shall be as a phylactery between your eyes." I don't think he's necessarily saying, and although this is part of it, that you need to, as you're walking down the road, you're constantly teaching the children about the Word of God. That is certainly appropriate and important. But maybe when he says, when you're walking by the way, and when you're lying down, when you're rising up, maybe what's more important than the words that you're saying is the actions that are consistent with the words that you're saying. We need to not just be telling our children the words of God. We need to be modeling it for them. When I was in school and a teacher would give us an assignment, and sometimes they would just give an assignment that had words on a page that this is what I want. And What I always wanted was an example. Do you have a previous year's example that you can show us of this is what all other students have done and this is what I'm looking for? Because I wanted that physical, tangible example that I could look at and see, okay, that's what you want. And that's what parents are trying to be that tangible example to their children of what faithfulness really is. Now, we're going to come back to that point in a little bit. But we do want to note that one of the reasons young people have departed is because they did not have a solid model of faithfulness from their parents. Another reason why young people have left is because church focused on entertainment rather than discipleship. The social gospel certainly can attract crowds, but it doesn't provide deep conviction. In fact, I've heard of people, I've not conversed with these folks specifically myself, but I've heard from studies that have been done or from a general thought that people have become disenfranchised with the kind of rock concert type of worship that many churches have involved themselves in. They've begun to see through the sham. And youth groups often focused on excitement rather than on doctrine, and there was no firm, solid foundation. You don't really have to go much further than just looking at the modern worship songs, worship music scene, where you have, there's jokes even made about this, of songs that repeat Jesus, I love you 12 times, and that's the song. Well, I mean, that's a worthy sentiment, but there's no depth to that song. You think about some of the songs that we've sung here that have true spiritual, scriptural depth to them. And they're teaching a solid doctrinal message that is full of rich truths. Much of the modern worship scene is absent of that, and many people are seeing through the sham. That is why there are people that are flocking towards churches that are more biblically based. And they are flocking towards churches where they teach the Bible and they study the Bible. Because the entertainment does not lead us closer to God, but an emphasis upon discipleship. That is what people are looking for. And so when we focus on entertainment, we can draw large crowds into the buildings, but the faith will be shallow and it will crumble when pressure comes. We find in Colossians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 6. Therefore, Paul writes, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted and being built up in him and having been established in your faith just as you were instructed and abounding with thanksgiving. He's talking about being firmly rooted and firmly established, being built up in him. And I want to suggest the only way that that's going to happen is by a solid foundation upon the Word of God. It's not going to happen through entertainment. It's not going to happen through those rock concert type worship scenes. It's going to happen through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Now, many are going to find that boring, but that's what God has given us in order to instill people with the truth that comes from God. And so there are people that are seeking that kind of an emphasis. They want the Word of God, and they want solid truth being taught rather than the more entertainment-oriented worship. And so many young people have departed because they've seen that focus, and it creates a shallow faith. But another one, and I think this is rather important, if you wouldn't mind advancing the slide, young people are leaving because they have unanswered intellectual questions. We're all going to be faced with various questions at times that challenge our faith. And even when you're old, you're going to have questions that will challenge your faith. And the reality is questions that aren't answered well don't go away. When we don't take the time to give an answer, or even more important sometimes, to show how to find the answer, then that question is not going to go away. But if I just cut them off and say, well, we just don't do that, or that's just not right, we haven't answered the question, first of all, but then we haven't, what we're doing, more importantly, is we're showing them that we're not the kind of person that they can go and get a solid answer for their question. And so what they're going to do is they're going to learn to internalize their questions, and then they're going to go find somebody else who can give them an answer, albeit an unscriptural one. And we've lost our own credibility there. An inability or a refusal to give a proper answer to the questions that children will have will not help to defend their faith. In fact, it will make it shaky, and it will cause them to seek answers in other places apart from God. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter says to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and fear. And we need to be willing to defend and able to defend our faith. It's one of the reasons why I try to deal with some of the things that we might be dealing with in some of our lessons, because I want us to be able to talk to our friends and neighbors, and when those questions come up, I want us to be able to answer them and not just, well, let me ask the preacher. Hey, feel free to ask me. I'm more than happy to do so. But what I want to do is equip you to be able to find those answers yourself. I want to be able to equip you to be able to answer those questions. And I want to be able to equip you to be able to teach others to find the answers on their own. And so we want to be able to answer all the intellectual questions that children or even adults have that may be challenging to their faith. Otherwise, it could cause them to depart from their faith. Another reason is that young folks are leaving is because of moral pressures from the culture. Now, this one is probably no surprise to any of us. The culture that promotes immoral and ungodly lifestyles are going to be a challenge to us. And it's one thing to try and insulate ourselves from them and to make a concerted effort to be isolated or insulated to as much of a degree as we can from the ungodly influences around us. But I think a lot of Christians aren't even trying to do that. We turn on the television and we give unfettered access to the television, or we throw a cell phone in their hand, and we don't have any kind of protection for them, and expect that the moral pressures of the culture are going to handle all the moral pressures of the culture. Grown adults have trouble with that. And so we need to be guarding our children from the moral pressures of the culture. And beyond that, we find they don't want to submit to the biblical standards. I think this probably gets to one of the reasons why we probably think that a lot of young people are departing, is because they just don't want to do what's right. Romans 12 verse 2 says we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And some people view that as too restrictive. I want to go out and have fun with my friends. I don't want to be a square in the schoolyard. I want to fit in. I want to be like everybody else. How'd that work out for Israel, by the way? 1 Kings chapter 8, or 1 Samuel chapter 8. Go check that out. We want to protect or isolate children from the moral pressures of the culture, but also equip them to be able to stand firm in their faith when they find they are pressured by the culture, because peer pressure is real. And it's not just when you're a teenager that peer pressure is real. And so we want to be able to equip them so that they can handle the moral pressures from the culture, and that they can be transformed by the renewing of their minds and stand firm and solid in their faith. Daniel chapter 3, with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these were three young men who are stripped away from their home and brought to a foreign land. And among this, within this foreign land, the people who have carried them captive are trying to assimilate them into Babylonian culture. And yet they stand apart from those moral pressures. And in fact, when the golden image is set up by Nebuchadnezzar and everyone is forced to bow, they refuse. And they're willing to stand firm when confronted by the king. and say, even if you're going to throw us in this fiery furnace, we will not bow. They had faith upon which they could stand when the moral pressures of their culture became strong. And we want to instill that within all of us, that kind of faith and conviction that when our culture pressures us to compromise and when it pressures us to accept things that God says to condemn, that we're going to stand firm with God. And I think another reason associated with that young people are leaving is because of social media and constant digital distraction. Social media and cell phones in general have had destructive effects upon younger generations. And there's studies that have been done. There's a whole book that's been written. I'd highly recommend it. But it goes back to see a trend that kind of began in the 80s with a different parenting style. And it really just kind of dropped off a cliff in the 2010s once social media really started to take off and become prevalent. And how the mental health of children in that time frame just plummets. Absolutely plummets. And one of, if not the leading reason for it, is social media and its destructive influence on the lives of children. And so one of the reasons why young people are leaving is because they have their minds destroyed by social media and the influence of it. When they are so focused on entertainment and constant stimulation, the TV, there was a show that I grew up watching, and I went back and watched it another episode a couple years ago, and I remember thinking how slow moving it was. I mean, it was just moving along at a leisurely pace, but then the shows today, it's constant moving every second. We're constantly changing, and we're constantly adding in more stimuli. And that affecting and damaging children's brains to the point that they come to worship and they find it difficult or unappealing to sit here and study the Word of God in a communal setting as we are now. And so they would rather go do something else than come and gather with the Lord's people and worship. And so social media does have a tremendous impact. There's also a desire for independence. Some folks, you view the church as an extension of parental authority. And so they recognize, they want to depart from that. And they want to reject that authority. And that is what we refer to as the rebellious stage. In Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 8 and 9, it says, Hear, my son, your father's discipline, and do not abandon your mother's instructions, for they are a garland of grace for your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not be willing. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive with Sheol as a hole and hold as those who go down to the pit. I'm going to skip ahead here. He says, do not walk in the way with them. Do not walk in their way. And that's just one place of many throughout the book of Proverbs where there's a call for a child to heed the instruction of his father. And of course, it's wisdom being personified here, that the child is being called upon to heed the wisdom of the wise. And so children need to recognize the wisdom of heeding authority and parental instruction. And going back to what we talked about at the beginning, being consistent in your application of that will go a long way in helping with that. There's also painful experiences in the church. The reality is the church is imperfect. We're all imperfect people, and that's why we're here, because we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and to make us whole again. And we're all striving to be more like Christ, but we all often fall short from time to time, and sometimes even in rather public ways. And so sometimes children are mistreated, or they feel like they're overlooked or misunderstood, or maybe there's leadership failure, or some other hurt, and they begin to become embittered against the truth or against the Lord and His people. And that is an all too real reality for so many people. In fact, there are entire pages online where videos are being thrown out where people are talking about their church hurt. Brethren are going to let you down sometimes. That's just a reality. But what we need to do is learn to guard ourselves against bitterness and not allow it to take root. Hebrews 12 and verse 15 says, "Seeing to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." We need to learn not to allow that root of bitterness to continue to grow and fester until it overtakes you. Don't allow bitterness to rule over you. Rule over it. And don't allow the painful experiences or the failures of others to distract you from Christ. And so painful experience is one reason. And then another is they're lacking meaningful relationships. Young people need spiritual mentors and general genuine friendships within the church. They especially need intergenerational relationships. Genuine relationships with a person, with an adult that is not their parents. And it's good for the young people to make friends with one another, but they need to be pushed and encouraged to make friends with older folks as well, to get to know older people, to have relationships with people that are beyond their age group, because that will go a long way in helping them to maintain a faithfulness in their life. We find in Titus 2, verses 1 through 8, we're not going to read all of this, but we find a pattern that has been given where God instructs the older folks to take the young folks, in more modern terms, to take them under their wing, to be a mentor to them, the older men to teach the younger men to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love and perseverance, older women teaching the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, and on and on and on. But the point is that we need these intergenerational relationships. We need to be building and maintaining friendships with people that are beyond our own age group, because that will help us to maintain faithfulness. Having mentors and other spiritual leaders apart from our parents will go a long way in helping us to maintain faithfulness. And then lastly, some people are leaving because they were never truly converted. Perhaps these folks saw the gospel as a means to appease rather than out of genuine heart. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18 says that we obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which we have been delivered, and we've become slaves of righteousness. He says it's a devotion of the heart. We're giving our hearts to the Lord. And some people never truly do that. They go through the motions. Maybe they're dragged there by their parents, and they're just going until they can reach an age where they don't have to do that anymore. They're no longer under their mom and dad's thumb, and then they're just going to run out the door as soon as they can. I do want to be careful with that, though, because we don't want to minimize the danger of apostasy. And because when we see somebody that falls away and we just automatically say, well, they must not have been truly converted, that's not always true. And I think the danger in making those statements is if we get into the mindset that it's only going to happen if they're not truly converted. I believe I'm truly converted, so it can't happen to me. It can. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says evil company corrupts good habits. Because it can happen if we are not guarded. And so we want to make sure that we are building that conviction within our hearts. And so those are some of the reasons why young people are leaving. I'm going to spend a few moments thinking about why young people are staying. And spoiler alert, it's much, in many ways, the inverse of what we just talked about. And the first idea is that they have a genuine relationship with Christ. They're implying that they're not simply following what they've been told, but they've allowed the word of God to become implanted on their hearts. James 1 and verse 21 says to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's not just I've memorized a couple of verses or I kind of know a couple of trivia facts about the Bible. I have taken the word of God and have allowed it to be written on my heart. They have genuinely experienced the transforming power of the Word of God because they've allowed that seed to be planted in their hearts and to grow and bear fruit. We read before the Lord's Supper this morning, Psalm 34 and verse 8, David writes, "O taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." When he says taste and see, he's talking about to truly experience the goodness of God. There are a lot of people who I think have departed from the faith who never really gave God a chance. And what I mean by that is they never truly invested themselves in their faith. They've never really truly experienced the goodness of God, and therefore it's easy for them to walk away. When you can taste and see the goodness of God, when you felt it, when you've experienced it, that develops a genuine love for God and for His Word within your heart that won't be easily stripped away. And so, young people who have a genuine relationship with Christ will be set up for spiritual success well into their adult years. And so what we're trying to do is not just, I think sometimes we get so preoccupied with baptism that we miss the purpose. We think, oh, well, you got to be baptized. And that's true. But let that not come at the expense of learning, encouraging them to know and to love God. And when they do, and then they recognize how far they've fallen short, baptism will be the result. But if we teach them to have a genuine relationship and a genuine love for God, that will serve them well as a solid foundation upon which they can build their lives. And then another reason is they are grounded in Scripture and have received solid teaching. This takes us back to Psalm 119, verse 9, where we started. And you notice as you read throughout this text here that the psalmist describes the Word of God in every verse there. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, teach me your statutes. Again, he's secure because he's keeping his way upon a solid foundation. And that, of course, is the Word of God. Hiding the Word of God in our hearts, as he describes there in verse 11, is not just memorizing verses so that I can quote it without really knowing what it means. I used to know a group of people that they could quote the Bible all day long, but I eventually started to figure out that that's about as far as it goes. There wasn't much spiritual depth beyond that. I can quote the Bible with the best of them, but as far as truly deeply understanding the Scriptures, they were lacking. So that's not hiding the Word of God in our hearts. It's allowing the truth to penetrate our heart so that it can transform us into the image of God, of the one who gave that Word in the first place. That's what he means by hiding the Word of God or treasuring the Word in our hearts. When I know God and when I know His will and I know His desire for me and I know what sin is and what it's done to Him and what it's done to my relationship with Him, then all of a sudden it takes on a different view. It's not as appealing any longer because I have allowed it to penetrate my heart, to take firm root there. In verse 105 of Psalm 19, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." It's not just a group of cute stories. If any of y'all have ever been to the Ark Encounter, that life-size replica of the Ark that was built over in Kentucky, One of the things that they have in there is a section where they have all these kids' books there of the ark. And it's the cutesy story of the ark, and you've got all these animals with their heads poking off the top, and then Noah standing there with all these animals, and they basically treat it as if it's just a cute little safari that Aunt Noah takes with a group of animals on his boat. When in reality, it's the judgment of God against the unrighteous people of the world. That's not a cutesy story. It's a picture of judgment and a picture of the grace of God to redeem one man and his family. And when we strip the Bible down to cutesy stories, we're not instilling true faith in their hearts. It's just a spiritual equivalent of Aesop's fables. We need to teach young people to learn and love the Word of God, not just stories, but actual Bible knowledge, which include doctrinal teaching, to allow them to be grounded and mature. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "The blessed man is the one who delights himself in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in it, whatever he does, he prospers." That's very similar to what Paul would say in Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15, that the word of God has been given to be preached by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. And he says, so that we can all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness that belongs to Christ. I want to suggest that that's not going to happen with just cute stories. Now, those have a place in especially young children to kind of help get them to learn a little bit about God. But eventually, it has to get to deeper and deeper things. Hebrews talks about those who are mature, have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. They've got a solid foundation upon which to build their lives. And that means young people need to know not only what they believe, but why, and to be able to show from the Word of God why they believe the way that they do. And that's only going to come by spending time in the Word of God. And I will suggest, too, that if the only time that we're spending in the Word of God is when we're gathered here, we are spiritually malnourished. We are empty, we are lacking, and severely so. And so we need to spend time within the Word of God, meditating upon it day and night, as the Psalm says, so that it can root us in Christ. Parents need to be instilling the Word of God in the hearts of their children, and the church can help to build upon that foundation. But that's all the church can do, is to build upon a foundation that should already be laid. And if the church is the primary teaching tool, then that child is ill-equipped to face the world. And so our goal should be to teach them to know and to love Jesus with all their heart, and that foundation can carry them throughout their life. If we build that solid foundation early, it can help equip them when life becomes challenging. But then related to the one that we talked about earlier, about their parents not modeling genuine faith, young people stay because their parents model genuine faith. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we read about Timothy and his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice. And I don't remember which one came first. Grandmother Lois and his mother, Eunice. He says, "Reminded of the unhypocritical faith which within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced that it is in you as well." There's a couple of statistics here. When both parents actively practice and model their faith, approximately 72% of their children remain faithful into adulthood. Three quarters. When both parents are faithful and model their faith for their children. 72%. You take the mother away. When only the father is faithful or modeling his faith, 55% remains faithful. If only the mother attends, 15% remain faithful. What that means is without a father figure, 85% of children lose their faith. Now, if that doesn't impress upon us the importance of a father, then I don't know what does. But what they need, what gives them the best chance of faithfulness, is both father and mother being faithful to the Lord and illustrating and modeling that faith for their children. Now, that doesn't require perfection. I think that kind of lends itself to expect a high bar for the parents, that if I make a mistake, then I've just ruined my child. It doesn't require perfection, but what it does require is consistency with the message that's being preached. Parents practicing what they are teaching, and if they fall short, repenting of it. I've heard from some folks around my age that said that one of the most impactful things in their growing up years was when their father gathered them together in the living room and sat them down and said, "I need to ask you for forgiveness for the way that I acted." See, it's not about perfection. It's about modeling genuine. I'm going to teach you to seek forgiveness. Showing repentance and forgiveness throughout the home. That's not just with mother and father and child, but also with husband and wife. Illustrating that relationship between the husband and the wife is going to be crucial. And then the home being built upon the Word of God. Not Jeopardy. Not social media. Not Hallmark movies. Those are all fine in their own, in within the appropriate context, but the home being built upon the Word of God is the only place that's going to provide the firm foundation upon which children can build their lives. There's other studies that have been done that show some interesting connections with those who have been faithful in regard to the home. And one is that they ate dinner together 5 of 7 nights a week as a family. Now, I don't know about you, but I first heard that and I thought I had no idea that that would even be remotely anywhere, have anything to do with the faithfulness of a child. But apparently it does. Eating dinner 5 of 7 nights as a family throughout the week. And then they had one spiritual experience in the home during the week. I would have thought it would have had to be much higher than that. But one spiritual experience in the home during the week helped set up their children for faithfulness into adulthood. That could be praying together. It could be engaging in spiritual conversations with them, which should be happening. It should be reading and discussing the Bible together or preparing lessons for Bible class. Having time set aside to engage in spiritual things is critical in order to encourage them to faithfulness throughout the remainder of their life. And so when parents model genuine faith, it sets up their children well to succeed spiritually into adulthood. We're running short on time, so I'm going to run through the last of these fairly quickly. Another reason is that they were integrated into the life of the church. Young people are more likely to remain faithful when they feel a sense of belonging. They're part of the family and not just a number. They're given opportunities to serve and to participate within the church, would include opportunities to lead the church in worship. It also includes serving alongside their families, whether it be cleaning the building together or participating in a work day or helping prepare communion or going and visiting the elderly. All of those are things that help the child to have a sense of belonging within the church. And it helps to develop ownership and a deeper commitment rather than being a mere observer. Another reason is they see Christianity as intellectually credible. The culture around us is going to tell people that if you have faith in God, that you're a moron. But we can show them that it is intellectually credible and that it is an intellectually viable worldview through which they can withstand the pressures of the world. And then they've experienced genuine Christian community. The church, of course, is a spiritual community, family, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, or 2 and verse 19. Young folks were able to find encouragement during their struggles or find mentors and close friends, making friends with God's people, song says. They experienced love and accountability. Community is key to helping us remain faithful. That's why we find encouragement in that. Acts 2, they continued steadfastly with one another day by day. And then Hebrews 10, the encouragement given to these Christians that they need to lean upon one another, stirring one another up to love and good works. And then chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, they need to encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need community, and we need children to feel like they're part of our community so that they know that they have a place. And then finally, they found lasting and meaningful hope in Christ. The world is going to tell us, the atheist viewpoint at least, tells us that life has no purpose. And they admit that. They acknowledge that. That there is no value or purpose beyond this life. But with Christ, we have purpose. God gives our lives meaning and purpose to fear God and to keep his commandments. That is what we're here for. That is our purpose. That's the meaning that our life has. And it has life, the meaning that leads us beyond this life and into the next. What a glorious purpose that is. And so these are just a couple of reasons why studies have shown why children have remained faithful, and things that we can do to practically give them a solid foundation upon which they can build their lives and experience spiritual success and faithfulness into their life. Real quickly, I have just a couple of practical ideas to help them be faithful. First of all is to fill your heart with the Word of God. Colossians 3 says, let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Fear the Lord. Having a fear of God is a foundation upon which our lives must be built. And having a fear of God in our hearts is crucial if we want to be spiritually successful. Choose your friends carefully. Choose the people that you spend the closest time with very carefully. And this would include the ones we choose as a mate. Choose your friends carefully. Guard what enters your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Don't allow trash into your heart. Resist sexual temptation. Guard against it like the plague, because our society is going to try and cram that down your throat. Pursue Christ-like desires. Replace that temptations and the trash that wants to enter our hearts, replace it with Christ-like desires. And develop a life of prayer. Praying without ceasing. And then finally, allowing Christ to guard your heart. Allowing him to guard you and to protect you as the sheep does, as the shepherd does his sheep. And so these are just a few practical ideas that we can implement, all of us can implement particularly, to try and help us to remain faithful, but especially that we can help instill these within young people to encourage them and to build a solid foundation so that they can remain obedient and faithful to the Lord all the days of our lives. The youth are a vital part of this group, of any group, and they hold the future in their hands. There was a song a couple years ago that was written about millennials, and it was a funny song, but you know, he talks about, you know, one day a millennial is going to be president, and then it kind of stops like, oh no. And then it ends by saying, please pray for millennials. Well, we need to pray for millennials. We need to pray for Gen Z and everything else that comes after it, because they are the future. And we need to build that solid foundation within their hearts so that the following generations have a solid foundation that they can build their lives upon. And so let's encourage all of us to faithfulness, and especially those that are young, because we see the importance of remaining faithful to the Lord in all that we do. Now, if we can encourage you or help you in being faithful to the Lord, we'd be glad to do so. If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to have your sins washed away and to be raised up into new life, we'd be happy to help you to become a child of God so that you begin walking with Him and serving Him and building that foundation upon which your life can rest with peace and with comfort and with joy. And we're happy to help you and encourage you in that. If you need to be more faithful, if you need encouragement in walking with the Lord each day, then we'd be happy to walk with you, to pray with you, to help you, and to encourage you in all the ways that the Lord has given us to encourage you. The Lord has given us something worth living for. And apart from Him, there's nothing worth living for. And so if you need to respond to our Lord's invitation so that you can have hope, then we're ready to encourage and assist you in any way we can. Whatever spiritual need you may have, please come while we stand and sing together.